Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for your word that continues to resound loudly, powerfully, magnificently today in our hearts, in our lives. Help it to reverberate out through us now into a world that needs it now more than ever, that we can be modern-day disciples. Father, thank you for the Christ child. Thank you for a new advent in our lives, a new way that you are breaking in and indwelling in us. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. Imagine for a second. And if you need to close your eyes, I guess that's okay. I'd rather nobody close their eyes right before the sermon, though, okay? A sign about this wide, about this high. You got me? A sign about this wide and this high. And on it are printed the words, "No left turn." And in fact, the sign is in blocking the left turn lane. With the arrow, this is your left hand, this is your right hand. With the arrow, left and right for our choir. So, and the arrow turning, and it's blocking it. And yet, there were folks that came forward. You see, I saw this. This is a sociological experiment. I'll be publishing a paper in the New England Journal of Science on this as well, about watching people come up and look at that sign and see the lane blocked up and still roll down their window and ask, were some of you doing that? Some of you are hiding your faces from me right now, Pastor. I'm sorry, I apologize. It was amazing. And you know, me, however much I weigh, versus a lot of steel and rubber, I'm really not going to stand in their way, actually. I mean, if they really want to go, and especially some with dualies, you know, I'm learning all about diesel engines and all sorts of stuff, I am not going to stand in their way. If you really want to turn left, please, God's blessings. So it was also kind of like being a matador out there, like, ole. Ole, please, sir, don't turn around in the middle of the street with your K car while traffic's coming both ways. Did I mention there's an AARP driving class this? Yeah. Even with signs that are very clear, even with direction that is given, even when you see other people doing what they're supposed to, you know, there are going to be times in life when it's going to be very tempting to go the other way. To go ahead and make that left turn, to just do it. Well, I saw somebody else doing it. Well, you know, They made it okay. They made it safe. For us as Christians, we, in this season, need to understand, or are called to understand, we are called to understand that God is breaking in to our lives once again in a whole new way. Certainly, Christmas is filled with tradition. The poinsettias, trees, Advent candles, Christmas tree, giving. You do that well. But it's about even more. It's about something that happens on the inside. It's about something that happens within us. Maybe it's a hungering. Maybe it's a yearning. Maybe it's a feeling that there's something that we're missing. It's a great theological program that I watched this past week. You may have seen it at some point in your lives. A Charlie Brown Christmas. I know you're looking at me saying, you know, there's a remarkable resemblance, actually. But in that, Charlie Brown is saying, what is the meaning of Christmas? Why, you know, is it all about all this stuff or something that we have to do or the brightest, most lavish decorations? And then Linus stands and recites the birth narrative of Christ from Luke. Kind of an amazing thing if you think about it. That was, I think, 1965, whenever that program was first broadcast. And every year now, it continues to be broadcast, and it's a very clear message. I understand that Charles Schulz was a Christian and a believer, and yet that show, while it's cute and while it's funny, who can't help but laugh at Snoopy whenever he's running around and tormenting Lucy? And we actually have a dog that reminds us a lot of Snoopy, Butterbean. Yeah, ears flopping, getting into trouble. The birth narrative is at the core of what Christmas is really all about. And besides, and apart from everything else, the accoutrements of Christmas, if you will, that is what we are called to live and to share as the church. Not to encourage a franticness on the part of the world, but rather to encourage a pondering. Believe it or not, during Advent even, a slowing down, if you will, to consider what really matters. And to consider how God is present with us and at work in our lives. I think that's why Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church is so important for us to hear during Advent. He says an awful lot, and in fact, some of these phrases are what I call Christian bookstore plaques. You know, you go into a Christian bookstore and you see these phrases. Sometimes they're taken out of context. Sometimes they aren't. There's a couple of those in here. Rejoice always. That's one. Kind of taken out of context, but still a good word. Pray without ceasing. People have asked me about that. Pastor, I'm driving down the road. How can I close my eyes and put my hands together and pray? Actually, there's a lot of praying from what I've seen going on in Yuma at this time of year. An awful lot of it. And my prayer life is increased every time I drive downtown. It's deepened. I feel God's presence powerfully with me. And I pray for that. And I see people using God's name also all the time, driving around in wonderful ways. And in fact, one brother in Christ blessed me and directed that at me as I was directing him on Friday. So I don't know if it was a blessing for the season or what that was, but it was received, and I said, God loves you too, sir. Thank you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Do not turn left. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. I have to share this with you. This is probably, I would say, at least scholars, many scholars have commented that this is the earliest letter of Paul. Okay, Paul wrote a number of letters in the New Testament, and it's believed by many that this is the earliest one. And while the letter of Romans, the letter to the Romans, I should say, is maybe his pinnacle, one of those times whenever he was feeling so filled by the Holy Spirit that it was just coming out of him and God was speaking clearly. This is a time also when Paul is kind of laying the groundwork and emphasizing what is important to the Christian life and emphasizing to us on the Advent journey what we are called to be about as well. In the list of things that you had to get done, think about it, for Christmas, okay? Was praying one of them to check off? Was living joyfully one of them? Let's go ahead and go down this line. Rejoicing always. Was giving thanks in all circumstances one of them? This is not meant to make us feel bad. It's just a reminder of what we are called to be about in all seasons. Praying. Rejoicing. Giving thanks in all circumstances, because, you know, we never know just how God is going to break through into our lives. And if we are able to do this in just a small way, in whatever broken way we can manage, and whatever limited way we can conjure up out of ourselves, if we can do that, then we are giving God the glory. And Christ is truly at the center of our lives, and the Holy Spirit is at work, and we're not quenching the Spirit. You see, friends, it doesn't mean that we have to get it perfectly right or we need to do things perfectly at all, but we are called to live in this way as believers of the one who has come, the one who God has given us, the one who is being birthed and rebirthed into our lives and our very hearts and souls and minds in this season. We are called to live in this way. We are called to be believers, but also actors and pointers, if you will, pointing towards God, praying, rejoicing, giving thanks. It's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? Believe me, I know. We can get caught up short in Advent. We really can. In life, during Christmas. When Jesus came to Bethlehem, on that first Christmas, nearly everybody was caught up short. who was involved. You know what caught up short is? You know what that is? You're not really prepared. You're not ready. And all of a sudden, something surprises you. Life throws you a curveball. Has anybody experienced that? I think everybody can acknowledge, yeah. Mary wasn't ready to have a baby, really. Joseph wasn't ready to get married to a pregnant woman, really. The innkeeper wasn't ready to have Joseph and Mary stay, really. The shepherds weren't ready to travel. Think about all these things. The wise men weren't ready to find a baby in a barn or a cave. Herod wasn't ready for a challenger to his throne, even if the baby was only months old at the time. All of these people were caught up short. And what does that mean for us? Whenever we have become distracted, that we've forgotten where our focus is, that, well, if that person's doing it, I guess it's okay. It's okay. I can do it too. It doesn't matter. No, when we forget that we are called to a different standard, because God's grace will help us, because God's love will continue to wash over us, and because God's strength will continue to guide us, it's because that we rest on God, not on our own power or laurels. It's because that we rest on God and what God is doing in us and what God continues to do in each and every one of us, and the indwelling, the new advent of God breaking forward into our lives of shadows and brokenness. That, my friends, is why a new advent is happening even now. Praying without ceasing, rejoicing, giving thanks in all circumstances, remembering that it's not about us, but it's about how God is in us and at work through us. Not becoming so fixated on something that we think we need to do or is on our agenda, but rather focused on God's agenda in our lives, and how God continues to work. Does anybody else think that's good news? Anybody else kind of give a nice deep sigh of relief besides me? Yeah. You can go out from this place today, after you have cookies, of course, and remember, giving thanks in all circumstances means that when that person gets that cookie that you've been looking at, you can still say Merry Christmas to them as well. We're really stretching ourselves here. It's not about us. It's not all on us. In fact, we're simply brothers and sisters. We're simply God's children called to receive how He is moving in our lives, how He is guiding us. Boy, what a relief, and what hope, and what grace. For you, if you felt caught up short, or if you felt like you wanted to go one direction, but you really couldn't. And you started realizing, well, maybe that direction that I wanted to go was all about me, and God's been guiding me in this direction. Let go and let God. There's still time. There's still time to receive that new advent of God in your hearts. There always is. All we need to do, brothers and sisters, is simply say, Father, I am yours. Be at work in me. Simple, isn't it? I invite you, in our time of pondering and discipleship and recommitment, to simply do that. As the music plays, to simply think in our time of discipleship that boy, maybe we've been wanting to go a certain direction, and yet God has been guiding us a different direction. And when we pray, and when we rejoice, and when we are thankful, in other words, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, it's so much easier to be able to simply follow how God is leading us. Think about the direction that you've been taking, and if you've been following God, and know that God's grace is washing over you right now. Join with me in prayer.